every motherless daughter. It's a ray of hope for the fatherless son, from the faithful one.
Father, thank you for the richness of your presence. Thank you for the power of your Holy Spirit who administers the Word of God. Our hearts are wide open to you. Commit ourselves to you. In Jesus' name. Amen. All right. Well, thank you, Jesus. I got a little time to share this morning. Isn't that exciting? Let's take our Bibles. Oh, my goodness. Do you see that? Oh, there it is. Let's take our Bibles, hold them up and say this together. These are our Bibles. God cannot lie. The truest thing about us is what God says about us. And he says, we are an embodied nation, a royal priesthood in the earth. We are more than conquerors, kingdom ambassadors who share in all of heaven's commonwealth. Yes. Amen. You know the kingdom of God is a commonwealth, right? Yes. The wealth of the kingdom of God, the kingdom of heaven, is common to us all. No more need for striving for individual wealth. I have all the wealth of the kingdom of God. It's common to us all. Yeah. Amen. Amen, Pastor Steve. That's really good. Yeah. All right. We're going to continue God's clear message to us from the Holy Spirit that Christ is our life. Say it with me. Christ is our life. Let's look at John chapter 6, verse 33. Jesus said, "The bread of God is he who gives life to the world." Now, every mention of the word life I'm going to give you this morning is Zoe, life of God, Greek, the Greek word for life. Zoe, life of God. Not necessarily like a duration of life, but a quality of life. He didn't just come so you'd die and go to heaven. He came to give you life as God has it. The very life of God. Thank you, Bruce. John chapter 10, verse 10. "I have come that you might have life and have a little bit." No, have it in abundance. Everybody say, "I've got abundant life." John 11, 25, Jesus said, "I am the resurrection and the life. I am the life to be lived in and through you." John 14, 6, Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life." Colossians 3, 4 says that Christ is our life. 1 John 5, 11, God has given to us eternal life, and this life is where? In his Son. And verse 12 says, "He who has the Son has the life. He who has not the Son has not the life." So clearly Jesus did not come here to start a holiday called Christmas. He didn't come here to start a religion. He didn't come to start a denomination. Jesus came to give us life. Life and life abundantly. He did not come to just be added to your old life, your old BIOS, bios, where we get autobiography, your life. I'm not talking about that life, that human life. I'm talking about the God kind of life. So he didn't come to just be added. He came to replace the bios life and be your life, be your expression. Does that make sense? Sounds like this. The same spirit that raised Christ from the dead now lives in you. It's no longer I that live, Galatians 2:20, but Christ lives in me and has me and through me. All right, so by feeding on his life, we're not feeding on religion, we're not feeding on a denomination, we're feeding on the life of Jesus Christ, the life of God. And by feeding on him, it has paid off for us. We're seeing some good things, amen? How many of your week just goes better when you're feeding on Christ? You're spending more time participating with him, listening to him, listening to his word, participating with his spirit. You know, we have a choice every week. We can prioritize KJ 103 if we want. I'm not against that. Give me another one. I don't know. And how about talk radio, political radio? You can prioritize that and feed on that. But this whole series, and we're in our fifth week now, his word has been the same. He said, "I'm simply asking, can we cut off some of what you've been feeding on so you can feed on me?" Man doesn't live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. The word of God is Jesus Christ. He is life. We have food that others know not of. Okay, so we're feeding on Him. And by feeding on Him, it's engaged us with Him. It's rooted and grounded us in the love and the life of Christ. So now we're no longer just undone and upset by what somebody else is doing. I was tired of being mastered by everyone and everything outside of me that had no bearing on who I really was in Christ and whether I'm loved or not. Are you guys to the point where you've quit looking to things that happen outside of you to determine whether God loves you or not? I mean, He answered that question 2,000 years ago. If you want to know whether He loves you or not, while you were still yet His enemy, He died for you. He loves you. So let's get out of that old mindset that, man, I got to use the Bible and I got to use formulas and I got to dance just right so God will bless me and keep me happy and prove to me He loves me because all my circumstances are good. And I got tired of praying for everybody else to act right so I could be happy. What joy to know that everybody else's behavior is not the cause of whether I'm having a good day or not. Amen. Amen. Supernatural Christianity. Abiding in the real vine. You know, and we take our umbilical cord, we plug it in all over the place. You need to plug that thing into Christ as your life. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. Amen. What joy to be able to get in your car and get ready to go to work and not be wondering, well, I wonder if today's going to be good or not. You can get in your car and say, you know what? Today's going to be a great day because God Almighty is in me. I'm going to go be a blessing now. I'm going to go. I don't want to go to work and wonder whether or not it's going to be a good day. I want to go be a good day. I'm going to go be one to somebody. Can I get a witness in this house? So it's working. I mean, we're feeding on Christ. We're rooted and grounded in Him and not rooted and grounded in what the media is doing. And it's not just here. You know, we went this week 3 miles down the road to Bethel Church with Pastor Dick Temple, and we met and prayed with those guys down there. Some other pastors joined us. And I just love hearing the great things that are happening. Church is, not just here is church no longer church as usual. I mean, we're getting reports all over town where, you know, God's just interrupting what they're doing. Amen. And thank God for willing hearts to participate with what He's currently saying and doing. The church got herself into trouble when church became a memorial to what God did. And we quit being a voice and demonstration of what God is currently saying and doing in this hour. That's what makes church exciting. That's what makes these prayer meetings exciting, you know, tonight at 6 o'clock over at Lighthouse. Because I told them, they asked me to speak. I said, I'll speak if He goes that way, if that's what He wants. But from what I understand, we're going to worship, strike up the band, we're going to pray. Who knows what will happen? Jesus will happen. We'll see how it comes out. But isn't that a lot more exciting than just being a memorial to something God did 2,000 years ago? Amen. Let me introduce you to historical Jesus. No, man, you need to know the living, risen Christ. The one who's with you in the present tense. So people have begun to realize that church as usual ain't going to cut it. Amen. And like I said, I don't know what's going to happen in November, but I know who holds my future. And I know I'm not backing up or backing down off of this word this summer has been life changing. Very revealing, I think, to many of us. But Christianity is no longer a weekend experience. That we come in, get pumped back up to go live carnal for 6 more days. Amen. Amen. I mean, we're feeding on Christ. Sunday should not be the only day we're talking to Jesus. That should not be the only day we're feeding on Christ. Amen. So we had a word, a prophetic word given back in October of 2015. Some of you are going to remember this. What the Lord told us in October of 2015 is that He wanted to grow us out of the mindset. Let me rephrase that. He was going to grow us out of the mindset that Sundays are enough. How profound is that? That was October, and now here we are in July, and that's exactly what this is. And I'm not smart enough to remember one word to the next. So He just reminded me of what He said He was going to do back in July. Back in October of last year, that I'm going to get you out of the mindset that Sundays are enough. That's one of the great things that has hamstrung the church in America, is this idea that Sundays are it. Amen. So He said, I'm going to develop present day priests and kings. Amen, somebody? I'm going to develop godly mothers and godly fathers and godly sons and godly daughters. And man, I'm telling you, he's coming for you. Man, he's coming for you. Yeah. Men that every day you're able to remind your household there, you know what? As for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. We're going to serve the Lord. Thank you, Lord, for what you're doing with the men. So God said he's raising up believers who exemplify deep love and commitment, faith and trust in Jesus Christ. How about that? How many of you think the body of Christ through the years here in America has been known for our deep love, faith, trust, and commitment to Jesus Christ? I don't see it. He's raising up believers who reflect Christ as their life. Believers who don't fold in the fire, but who allow the fire to simply reveal our absolute trust in God. Isn't that good? Amen. Believers who don't fold in the fire, but who actually reveal in the fire their absolute trust in God. You realize that with those three Hebrew children, Jesus didn't put out the fire. He didn't shut down the fiery furnace. He let them turn it up 7 times hotter, and then he appeared in the fire with them to demonstrate his authority and lordship over the fire. How many times? We're always praying, oh God, don't send me any problems. Oh God, they're threatening to turn up the fire. I can't have any fire. Sometimes he's not going to put out the fire for you. He's going to join you in it. And he's going to demonstrate that he has authority and lordship over that fire. And that greater is he that's within you and with you than that fire. Amen. Go ahead and clap your hands for that. It's the truth. Aren't you glad to know that he doesn't always have to take you out of the bad situation? He can actually reveal his power over it, that it can't subdue you. I mean, how can a situation master a heart that's already mastered? How can a circumstance conquer a heart that's already been conquered by him? So he want, say again. The only thing the fire burned away was the bondage. The ropes. And we're going to read that here in just a second. I'm just getting excited ahead of myself. Believers who understand that Jesus doesn't always put out the fire, but likes to demonstrate his rule over the fire. There's two persecuting spirits. There's more than that, but there's two I want to bring to our intercessors' attention this morning in our nation. Now, these two persecuting spirits, demonic spirits, are at work in our nation. The first one is the spirit of Herod. The spirit of Herod is definitely at work in the United States of America because the spirit of Herod wants to stamp out anything to do with Jesus. Anything to do with, are you ready? Christ. If you'll remember, when people went out to worship baby Jesus Christ, Herod blew a gasket. So anything to do with Jesus, he hates it, he'll stand against it. And if you don't think it's present in America, then tell me, why is Merry Christmas such a problem? Amen. I mean, seriously, well, we have to say Happy Holidays now because Christ is offensive. Who's it offensive to? The spirit of Herod. Amen. If they ask me to pray at the Oklahoma City Thunder game, you realize I cannot pray in Jesus' name. You have to, your prayers, you can pray to God and thank God for it, but you can't pray in Jesus' name. If you go to a high school football game to pray and you pray in Jesus' name, you'll cause no small stir. Because there is a demonic, entity at work in our nation to stamp out anything that has to do with Christ. So, Merry Christmas, everybody. I'm not playing that silly game. How about the spirit of Nebuchadnezzar, which is simply government-enforced worship? You're going to worship who we tell you to. Jesus is not God. You realize if all religions are the same and all the gods are all gods and they're all equal the same, Jesus is not God then. So government-enforced worship is you'll worship who we tell you to and you'll worship when we tell you to. But thank God for Revelation 12:11 that says we overcame Satan by the blood of the Lamb, the word of our testimony. And number three, we do not love our lives even unto death. We forget that one. But that's such a key component to overcoming. We don't love our lives even unto death. You want a good example? The three Hebrew boys. They didn't love their lives even unto death. Nebuchadnezzar said, hey, we're gonna throw you in the fire. And they said, this has nothing to do with fire. This has to do with who God is. So you want to throw us in there, go right ahead. And then they said, oh, we're going to turn it up 7 times hotter. And they said, this has nothing to do with fire. This has to do with who God is. And so we're not going to bow and worship who you tell us to worship. So Daniel chapter 3, verse 16. I'm going to read it to you because it's a little long. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego answered and said to the king, oh, Nebuchadnezzar, we don't even need to answer you in this matter. In other words, this is nothing to us. This is a silly law. We don't have to think twice. I don't even have to pray and fast about it. If that's the case, you're going to throw us in the furnace. Our God, whom we serve, is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace, and he'll deliver us from your hand, O king. But even if he doesn't, let it be known to you, O king, that we don't serve your gods, nor will we worship the golden image that you've set up. Amen. Why? Because this has nothing to do with fire. This has to do with who is God in my life. Verse 19, then Nebuchadnezzar was full of fury, and the expression on his face changed towards Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And he commanded that they heat it up 7 times more than it was usually heated. I mean, you know, that was a good thing. If God wasn't going to deliver them, they'll just go that much quicker. Thank you, Jesus. Turn that thing way up. Go down to verse 23. And these three men, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, fell down, bound in the midst of the burning fiery furnace. And then King Nebuchadnezzar was astonished. He rose in haste. He spoke and he said to his counselors, guys, did we not cast three men bound into the fire? They said, it's true, O king. He said, look, I see four men loose. I see four men loose. I see four men free. I see no more ropes. And they're walking in the midst of the fire. Hello, body of Christ in the United States of America. Walking in the midst of the fire. Yeah, singing, I'm so glad Jesus set me free. He set me free. All right, I'll spare you that. What, this is us walking around in the midst of the fire. You know, I'm praying into the elections, and I'm praying as the Holy Spirit directs me to pray, but my hope is in God. And I will not fear the war, and I will not fear the storm. No matter what happens, it will not change who the body of Christ is in this nation. And I want to say again that we simply needed to be reminded that the church is still here. Now, church as a meeting place for an hour on Sunday to get a sermonette for Christianettes is not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about the church of the Lord Jesus Christ, his bride, who's in filled with his Holy Spirit and power. She is still here. Amen. Clap your hands if you believe that this morning. So he says, look, I see four men loose walking in the midst of the fire, and they're not hurt. And that fourth one looks like the Son of God. He jumped in the fire with them. Untied them. Here we go, guys. Lord over the fire. Lord over the fire. Lord over your circumstance. Lord over your situation. When you go through the fire, you will not be burned. You remember that one? And so Nebuchadnezzar goes to the mouth of the furnace, and he says, guys, come here. Servants of the Most High God, come out. And the satraps, administrators, governors, and the king's counselors gathered together, and they saw these men on whose bodies the fire had no power. That's in the Bible. On whose bodies the fire had no power. I want that to be true of you and me. On whom the fire has no power. We grew weary, didn't we? We grew tired of being subdued by everything and everyone outside of us that has no bearing on who we really are. And I would rather die in faith and confidence than in fear and compromise. Are you with me on that? Amen. Because that's what they chose. Even if he doesn't deliver us, far better for us to die in faith and confidence, because we know who God is, than in fear and compromise. So on whose bodies the fire had no power, the hair of their head was not singed, nor were their garments even affected, and the smell of fire wasn't even on them. Nobody could even tell they had been through anything. What is that, church? Invincibility. It's the spirit of invincibility. Micah 4:13, right? Message Bible. I'm taking away your chaff and I'm taking away the dross and I'm making you into an invincible people. Literally a juggernaut. Micah 4:13 in the Message Bible. An immovable, unshakable force. How many of you know Hebrews 12 says that the kingdom of God is unshakable. The spirit of God is immovable, unshakable. Amen. I praise God for where he's taking us. I don't want to be subject anymore. I'm made to be subject, but not to those things, to him. That's who I'm made to be subject to. So Nebuchadnezzar went on to say, hey, your God is obviously God. He made a decree. If anybody says anything bad against the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, we'll cut him into pieces. This guy needs to get saved in the worst way. Verse 30, then the king promoted Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in the province of Babylon. They got promoted even in the midst of a Babylonian system. Let that sink in. I know there's a corrupt system at work in the United States of America, but you can still get promoted. Amen. Because we belong to a king and his kingdom. So don't let the enemy use fire to cause you to draw back and self-preserve. To save yourself. Don't do that. As soon as you start saving yourself, protecting yourself, defending yourself, then you're subject. Let Christ be your protection. Let Christ be your defense. Okay? We're going to go ahead and step out anyway. And if they turn up the heat, man, they turned it up 7 times hotter. How many of you guys ever prayed and it got worse? Right? You got some pain in your arm and you ask for prayer and then you go home and it's worse. Let's just turn up the fire 7 times hotter. That's all it is. It just got worse. The doctor gave you a report. You asked for prayer. You went back. He gave you a worse report. 7 times hotter. What do we say? This has nothing to do with fire. This has to do with who God is. And I'll not be moved off of that by some pain in my arm or by a doctor's report. Of course there's things in the natural that go awry. Of course there are. It's a fallen realm. But greater is he in the spiritual dimension, in you, than that realm. In John 16:33, Jesus even said, in the natural world, you'll have trial and tribulation, distress and frustration, but be of good cheer because I've overcome the natural world for you. Amen. How did he do it? By giving you access. Everybody say, I've got access. Amen. To the Spirit. That's where your access is. That's where your joy is. That's where your hope in God is. Amen. He literally says in the Amplified in John 16:33, I've deprived the natural world of all of its power to harm you. Now that sounds like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. So here's what changes us, guys. Here's what releases that overcoming spirit is the God reality. We need to walk in God reality. The reality of God. Sounds kind of like faith, doesn't it? Walk around with a God reality. It'll transform you. It's his perspective. It's his glory. It's empowering that you know that you know that you know. You ever been there before that you know that God is with you? You know this, right? It's not hard to say no to sin in that. Is it? I mean, when you know that you know God is with you, you're walking out God reality. It's not hard to tame your tongue in moments like that. So what do? Well, we want to make God more and more real to us. So we're going to spend time with him. We're going to get to know him. We're going to feed on him. When we're in the car, we're going to commune with him. We're not going to get in the car and wonder what kind of day we're going to have. We're going to allow him to already set our attitude. He's already set my perspective. He's already set his reality in my mind. I'm not going to work to find out if it's going to be a good day. Amen. What is a powerful series. This is so powerful. And it's just a prophetic word from him to us. I didn't get this off the internet, man. he's talking to us. Practicing God reality. We get it in our car and we listen to the word of God being taught. Or we call our friend, the intercessor, we pray together. Hey, I'm on my way to work. Let's pray together. I could choose to listen to something else. I could choose to listen to secular radio or politicians or KJ103 or whatever. Or I can prioritize time with God. Now, don't make a law out of it. We're walking out grace here. I'm not saying, oh my gosh, have you ever listened to something other than praise and worship that you're a sinner? I'm not saying that at all. He's just asking, what are you feeding on? That's all he's asking. And then second question, how often? How often? Isn't that fair? I mean, that's not, it's not legalistic. It's not condemnation. He loves us. He wants us to feed on him. You can put on praise and worship, you know, can't stop praising his name. I just can't stop praising his name. I just can't stop. Yeah. Why'd you stop? So we put that on. We listen to praise and worship because we're equipping ourselves. We're feeding on Christ because we're no longer going out into the world looking for love. We're going to go be love. Our attitude is set. Our perspective is set. And it's the glory of God. Look at 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 14. Now thanks be to God who sometimes leads us in triumph in Christ. It doesn't say that, does it? Who always leads us in triumph, literally victory in Christ. Thanks be to God who always leads us in triumph, victory in Christ. And through us diffuses, that word is manifest. He through us manifests the fragrance of who he is in every place. Man, you're so important. Amen. You're so important. You are God's man, God's woman in the earth. You're who he has. Amen. We are who he has in the earth for him to be known. Isn't it written, as he is, so are we in this world? Amen. So Lord, when they see us, we want to see you. You emit, you manifest, you diffuse the fragrance of who God is. Not head knowledge. He's not saying, go, you know, let me break Exodus down to you. Not knowledge. Who he is. The revelation of God in every place. Look at this. For we are to God the fragrance of Christ among those who are being saved and among those who are perishing. We're the fragrance of God in the earth. I hope you smell good. Amen, church? Amen. We need to smell good. Amen. Smell like Christ. You're God's go-to guy. We could sit here all day and pray, man, God, I really hope that you reveal yourself to Choctaw. I mean, they really need it. I hope they see it. By the way, when are you rapturing us out of here? Right? Or we can say, Lord, I am your man. I'm your woman in the earth. So use me. I yield to you. Use me to reveal who you are in Walmart and in the schools. You know, we're praying. We're getting together to pray in the schools, not just Grace Church, the church at Eastern Oklahoma County. We're going to pray for Choctaw and Oklahoma Park schools in August. They're letting us in.
Hallelujah.
It's no surprise.
Hallelujah.
We have good leadership, don't we? There's good leadership in Choctaw and Cone Park schools. So we get to go and pray for our schools. And we told them we just want to pray for goodwill. We want to pray for your finances. Man, a lot of schools are hurting for money. We want to pray for just a great year with all the students. You know, we just want to be a blessing.
Yes.
So Hallelujah. We're moving out. What are we doing? We're emitting the fragrance of Christ. All over town. I don't want the church to just stay us four and no more, and let's pray that somebody sees Jesus at some point. And then go to a restaurant and be cheap tippers. I mean, that's terrible. It's terrible. Let's go be a blessing. Amen. You know, waiters and waitresses, they hate working on Sunday.
Yes.
They hate it.
Can't blame them.
Are we having a good time?
Yeah.
So we're not waiting around. We've already set our attitude. God's moved in my mindset today. God's moved in my perspective today. How about this prophetic word? Are you ready for this? He gave me this word about a month ago. He wouldn't let me give it to you yet, but this morning he said I could. So this is to Grace Church, okay? And he asked me to tell you this. Quote, you are not a church, you're an embodied nation. You're an embodied nation. How many of you know the kingdom of heaven is a nation of people? This is who we are. We don't go to church. We are the church. We're an embodiment of the nation of Jesus Christ. He said, all my resources available to you. You do not represent yourselves. You represent the very life of my kingdom, its culture, values, and vision. Every citizen is a king in my kingdom. Therefore, great is your authority. He is the king of all kings, right? Every citizen in the kingdom of heaven is a king. So you have great authority, you have great resource. He wants to move you out into the highways and byways. Your life was not made to be preserved, it was made to be invested. Amen? In 2008, I had a vision of Grace Church becoming, I saw the building and the Grace Church, the building became the head of a lion. And the lion crawled up out of the ground and began to walk. It's huge. It began to walk all over eastern Oklahoma County. And sheep who were bloody and beaten and crippled began pouring out of houses to the lion. They were not afraid of the lion. And he began to lick those sheep and heal their wounds. Go ahead, give God praise. That's you. That's you. That lion has been released. I really believe the sleeping Christ has been awakened. We were on that ship. We were asleep. Here came a great storm. It's time to stand up and say, peace be still. The Church of Jesus Christ is, oh my goodness, I feel this thing. The Church of Jesus Christ is still here. Endued with power. Anybody feel this? I'm talking about an immovable force. I'm talking about a power. Will you just open your hands? Just open your hands for me. Father, we sense this equipping. We sense your power. We sense your presence. We sense your words in our mouth. We sense your thoughts in our mind. Oh my goodness, Lord. We thank you, Lord. That you are the Lion of Judah. You have been released. You are on the scene and you are bringing healing to many, many people, many churches, many saints, many lost people. Just heal, 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 Lord, all over town. All over town in Jesus' mighty name. Come on, everybody said, amen. Amen. Will you clap your hands this morning? So we all want to manifest Christ as life. We don't want to walk around defeated. We want the spirit of the overcomer that's been released. We want the spirit of invincibility that's been released. So how do we get there? We need some practicals that empower us to manifest Christ as life. In 1 Corinthians 11:1, Paul said, follow me as I follow Christ. Imitate me as I imitate Christ. So the Spirit of the Lord asked me to share with you all some things I do personally that really help me to manifest Christ as my everyday life. Amen? Now, so what he said was, though, he said, I don't want you to be the only one. I want you to instruct the church that this week, I want you to share with each other, your friends, you know, your acquaintances, share with them things that help you manifest Christ's life. Fair enough? Let's stir up some dialogue this week. Here's things that help me manifest Christ as life during the week. All right, so I'm going to do it this morning, but you guys do it throughout the week. Number one, daily remind myself of my true identity. You should not be surprised by this one. I wrote a book called The True You. I'm going to read to you from 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 5 through 12. We'll start with verse 4, I guess, out of the Message Bible. Listen to this. Welcome to the living stone, the source of life. So that's Jesus Christ. The workman took one look and threw it out, but yet God set him, Christ, the living stone, in the place of honor. So present yourselves as living stones for this construction of a sanctuary that is vibrant with life. in which you'll serve as holy priests offering Christ-approved lives up to God. The scriptures provide precedent. I'm setting a stone in Zion, a cornerstone in the place of honor. Whoever trusts in this stone as a foundation will never have cause to regret it. To you who trust him, he's a stone to be proud of. For those who refuse to trust him, the stone the workmen threw out is now the chief foundation stone. They trip and fall over him because they refuse to obey, just as predicted. All right, now here's verse 9. But you are the ones chosen by God. Everybody say, I'm chosen. Amen. You are chosen for the high calling of priestly work. Everybody say, I'm a priest. See, you just think you're a construction worker. You're actually a priest in the kingdom of God who happens to do construction. Because God knows there's other construction people there who need to see him.
That's right.
Amen. Sometimes we're like, oh God, I can't work here. There's too many heathen here. Right? The Lord's like, I know there's a bunch of heathen there. So he says, you're chosen by God. You're chosen for the high calling of priestly work. You're chosen as his holy people. Everybody say, I'm holy. You are God's instruments to do his work and speak for him. To tell others of the night and day difference he made for you. That you went from nothing to something, from rejected to accepted. Friends, the world is not your home, so don't make yourselves cozy in it. Amen. Don't indulge your ego at the expense of your own soul. Yeah. Don't indulge your ego at the expense of your own soul. Live an exemplary life among the natives so your actions will refute their prejudices and they'll be won over to God and join in the celebration when he arrives. That's a good word, amen? So you're living stones. You're being built by God's Spirit into his temple. You're a holy priest, or sorry, a holy nation, a royal priesthood. I like verse 11 in the New King James. It says, abstain from fleshly lust that war against your soul. So we're a grace church, right? We're all saved. We're righteous and holy. I tell you that all the time. If we're already righteous and we're holy and we're loved and we're accepted, why does not sinning even matter? Because sin wars against your soul. Sin's not good for you. Your mind, your will, your emotions. Will fleshly lust make you unholy as a Christian? No, you're holy in Christ. Will it make you unlovable? God won't love you anymore if you give in to fleshly lust. Nope. It just wars against you. So I called the county sheriff again this week, which I did a couple of years ago. The top three strongholds in Oklahoma County are still, are you ready? Here's the top three strongholds: prescription, drug addiction, meth addiction, and domestic violence. Those are the top three crimes in Oklahoma County. It's been that way for a few years. Now, will any of those make a born-again Christian unholy? No. Will any of those possibly kill a born-again Christian? Kill his marriage? Kill her family? Yeah, absolutely. Could destroy everything. 1 Corinthians 10:23, all things are lawful for me to do, but not all things are profitable. The flesh and sin and lust is not profitable. So we know we're free from performance-based acceptance. We're not talking about earned righteousness. We're talking about agreeing with our identity on a daily basis. That I am chosen, I am called, I am righteous. The more we renew our mind to those things, the more we express the life of Christ within. And don't give way to fleshly lust that war against our soul. Does that make sense to you? We need to submit to our identity on a regular basis. Donnie Wood, the guy from Reinhard Bonnke Crusade, his life has been forever changed by page 3 and 4 of The True You. Because every day he gets up and he reads to himself, I am the righteousness of God. I am sanctified. I am forgiven. I am justified in God's sight. I'm complete in Christ. He reads all these things. And guess what it does? It empowers him to manifest Christ as life. Let's look at the second one. Amen. Right there. Number two, practice his presence daily. I prefer the morning. I suggest to you the morning. Psalm 46:10, be still and know that I'm God. Psalm 131, verse 1 and 2. Look at this. Lord, my heart is not haughty, meaning prideful, nor my eyes lofty. Neither do I concern myself with great matters, nor with things too profound for me. Surely I've calmed and quieted my soul like a weaned child with his mother. Like a weaned child is my soul within me. So when I get up in the morning, one of the things that helps me greatly is to just get quiet before the Lord. I might even turn on, I've found on YouTube some, it's Christian meditation worship music. There's no singing to it. Light piano, light strings, very soft. And I just begin to practice his presence because he is with me and he is in me. I don't wake up, stumble around and try to find Jesus somewhere. Well, I don't feel Jesus, so let me do a devotion real quick. No, he's with me. Faith says he's with me. So I meditate and I spend time in his presence in the morning. There's something empowering about making Jesus the first thing you do. Amen. Am I helping anybody? We're starting our day prioritizing him. We're going to prioritize him. You know, many of you guys follow me on Facebook, and a lot of times I just put prophetic words on there. Guess where they come from? Starting in the morning, listening. I don't talk, I listen. And I write down the things he tells me. He has things personally for me, and then he has things that he allows me to share on Facebook that might encourage somebody throughout their day. But those come from listening. Sometimes I just wake up and he's speaking to me. This morning I woke up at 5 o'clock in the morning with the song Set a Fire. My spirit was already worshiping at 5 o'clock in the morning. Set a fire down in my soul, right? I want more of you. And I had a picture of Grace Church and people were running. I mean, people were just so excited. But I woke up to that. Now listen, that's not every day. Some days I wake up and I'm late to be somewhere. And so I don't get to spend that time. I'm being totally honest with you. I do not do this every day. I am not perfect at it. But is this an absolute constant in my life? Yes. Do I let it go more than a day or two? No, I don't. But I think it's good for you to hear. I'm not walking this thing out perfect, but it is definitely part of my disciplines to just get up and listen, turn on some worship music, and spend time with him. Here's another thing I do in this segment is I close my eyes so I can see him. I close my eyes so I can see him. John 14:21. Does anybody have the Amplified Bible? Anybody? Okay, would you look that up for us and read John 14:21? How many of you know that the spiritual dimension is every bit as real as what you can see in the natural? Absolutely. So what I do is when I'm listening and I'm practicing his presence, I'll close my eyes and I'll look for him to encounter him. Do you have it? Okay, say it out loud for us. Okay. John 14:21.
The person who has my commands and keeps them is the one who really loves me.
This is Jesus speaking, by the way.
And whoever really loves me will be loved by my Father. And I too will love him and will show, reveal, manifest myself to him. I will let myself be clearly seen by him and make myself real to him.
Woo-hoo-hoo-hoo. Wow. You want to know why Pastor Steve is a madman? That right there. He is real. And I have seen him. First time, remember, was when I was 20 years old. And he came in my room at college. When I was trying to pray my way, beg my way back into a relationship with God. Remember? And he said, Steve, I don't love you because of what you do. I love you because of who I am. And when I had seen him, I wept. I'm a college baseball pitcher, big man on campus, right? Crying like a baby. I'd never felt or seen or experienced love like I had in him. And so he is my best friend. So when I pray, I close my eyes and I look for him. Don't always see him. But you have a promise in the scriptures right there He said, I will allow you to clearly see me. The other one is 2 Kings chapter 6, verse 16 and 17. Jeremy, you guys can come. In 2 Kings chapter 6, verse 16 and 17, Elisha and his servant were being surrounded by the enemy. Do you remember? And Elisha prayed. He said, Lord, open his eyes that he may see. And when he opened his eyes, the servant saw what Elisha had seen in the spirit the whole time. There was a great multitude of heavenly armies there. Yeah, the real reality. So the dimension of the spirit is very real. And we can see into the spirit. You can call it the eyes of faith or mind's eye or seeing in the spirit. This is something that's been very, very helpful to me in my daily walk. Will you stand with me? Lord willing, we'll continue some of these next week. Don't forget to share with each other. Let's stir up one another in regard to, hey, this works for me. This helps me manifest Christ as my life. Every head bowed and every eye closed. If you're here this morning, you've never accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. If you'd like to meet Him this morning, you can. If that is you, would just slip your hand up and say, Pastor, pray for me. I want to know Jesus Christ. Anyone? Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. For the gathered church this morning, if you're here and you are ready, willing and able to face fires, to be moved out, and to express Christ as your life, I want to pray for you. So if that is you as a believer, would you slip your hands in the air so I can pray for you this morning? Ready, willing, and able to face the fires, the furnaces. The Lord also, Lord, to feed on you, to express you as my life. Amen. All over this room. Well, Father, in Jesus' name, thank you for the sweet Holy Spirit that is our equipping agent, the agent of empowerment. I thank you, Lord, for canceling every faulty belief system and faulty mindset in each of these lives here this morning. Cancel those perceptions in Jesus' name. We're not here to self-preserve. We're not here to get ours. We're here to be given. And Lord, I thank you for this tremendous anointing. You're going to fill their mouths with words. You're going to fill their minds with supernatural thoughts. Oh my goodness. Fill their minds with divine thoughts. Fill their hands with resource. I break off the mindset right now in Jesus' name of just lack. Or Lord, I don't think I have enough. Lord, I break that off in Jesus' name. All of heaven's resource belongs to them. Every citizen in your kingdom is a king. Thank you for a shift in our perspective. Filling their hands, Lord, with resource. To be a blessing. To be love. Lord, I pray for all the marriages, Lord, that they will no longer be a burden taxing each other. But they'll be given one to another through the life and the love and the spirit of Jesus Christ. And that, Lord, as a married couple together, they'll be an incredible force, a juggernaut, immovable and unshakable in ministering life and health to others. Just thank you, Lord, for all these things. Thank you, Lord, for tonight as we gather with other brothers and sisters at the church at Eastern Oklahoma County. Thank you for what you're going to say. Thank you for what you're going to do. Thank you. There's incredible life and blessing released in unity. How good and pleasant it is when we gather together in unity. May we stir one another to love and good deeds here and there. We love you, Lord, in Jesus' name. Everybody said, amen. Will you give him praise this morning? Amen. Listen, if you need prayer, stick around. The ministry team will meet you here in the altar. Otherwise, let's go be love.
This is Pastor Steve, and on behalf of my wife, Stacy, and our leadership here at Grace Church, we wanted to say thank you so much for listening today. Always remember that man is too great of a creation to be satisfied by anything but God. And so when we take in His Word by the Spirit, it's as natural for us as our lungs taking in air. I also want to make mention, feel free to go to our website, gracechurchok.com. You can access more messages there, either through audio or also through video. God bless you, and thank you again for listening.